Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the show. This is the Midnight Garden. I am Mateo Sasquatch. Many of my regular listeners have complained when I have talked about technical issues on the air. But since right now I suspect I sound like I'm coming from you to you from the bottom of a well, I thought I should mention that my wonderful cell phone has decided it's not going to work as a phone anymore. It's only going to work as a speakerphone. Now, this obviously has happened because I have hit a button somewhere that I shouldn't have hit, and I shut off the regular phone. Now, why you would have a button like that is beyond me. There are lots of technical doodads in these wonderful technical marvels we have today that one wonders, why would anyone want that? There's a control. I still haven't figured out what it is. When I'm typing an instant message, there's a control where at some point, if you hit this button, it erases everything you did. Just gone, irretrievably gone, and you got to start over. Why would anyone even want something like that? What would you want it for? Without having somebody, if it asked you, if you wanted to erase everything, wouldn't it freaking ask you first? I mean, ask you for everything else, ask you two or three times. Let me go off of my rant here. I've got to go to the Sprint store, and I've been there probably two dozen times since I've had this phone, working out various issues. And obviously, I'm gonna run out my contract, and I'm gonna try something else. This was a very poor choice, but I don't want it. It's difficult for me to go and ask. It's difficult for me to ask for help. And I guess maybe this is some sort of exercise for me. This phone is an exercise for me to learn how to go and ask for help from people who maybe aren't really inclined to be helpful. I think that's something really fair to say about anyone in tech, just about everybody in tech service that I've ever met. I've met one or two gems over the years and wished I could just take them with me for the rest of my life and have them work these things out for me. But most people in technical service are more interested in getting to the Slurpee station, two doors down, than they are in helping me with my problem. And they can't conceive of how I can have this problem. And really, I don't either, as I just said. So, and I have no better, I can't help them. You know, I can only tell them what's happening. I tell them when I try and make a regular old phone call, they can't hear me and I can't hear them until I hit the conference call, the speaker button, the one that you can hear so I can hear what they're saying. And you hear, I said, actually, you will probably hear, you may hear, I don't know how this works, but the wonderful Blog Talk 90-second warning and 60-second warning. If they come through on the speakerphone, you ought to be able to hear them, right? And so we'll see if that actually happens. But it's, what was I talking about before? I just dread going up there, but it's something, you know, because the phone keeps messing up. And I haven't had the same person twice yet. That's not true. I have the same person twice. I took it over to the shop on Broad Street, the one in the downtown shop. I've been there. That's the people who sold me my original phone. And then my second phone, when we thought the first phone was lost, but it turned out it wasn't. So I've got two of these damn things. The other one's just sitting there in an envelope because nobody wants it. It's A, too old, and B, you can only use it with Sprint. So I thought that was some shit only Apple did, where they made their phones so that no one else can use them. Unless you have the expertise to get in there and tinker with it and make it usable with Android. I don't know if the same sort of scofflaw structure exists for the Sprint Android phones. I guess I should try and find out. I got a list of phones somewhere. I'm not going to use it for anything. I'm not going to use this one for anything. I'm going to end up owning this phone after 12, 13 more months. And you know, I'm playing it on lease right now. Once I don't have any more money to pay on it, I mean, my other option is there's still the Q-Link phone that's out there that somebody took from my porch and they're using it. I went on the Q-Link website and they told me that if I pay them $25, they'll send me a new phone and cancel out the old phone. That's the only way that they will cancel that old phone. So even though I'm telling them I don't have it, this is me, I can give you all the identification information that you have in your file on me, I can give it to you, and I'm telling you I don't have this phone and you need to cancel it because I don't know what terrorist acts they're planning on this phone that's got my name on it. I don't know how much cocaine they're selling with this phone that's got my name on it. No, no way, can't do it. I got to pay them $25 to send me a new phone. And then I have to pay whatever, probably still about $100 or so to get out of the Sprint contract. And then no matter what happens, what paying the Sprint contract means paying off the phone that I'm leasing. So I'll own this piece of crap too. But anyway, okay, now I'm running out of steam on that. Good. Thank you for listening. I hope, and I've said this before, and I know it's whiny, and I'm sorry, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm 53 years old, and I have never in my life possessed a piece of technology that worked the way it was supposed to. It's always balky in some way, including this phone I'm talking to you on right now. And my deepest desire, my only desire at this point, okay, I won't go that far. Something that would really be cool is if I had a piece of technology that works the way it was supposed to. And maybe no, see, I don't know, maybe no pieces of technology work the way they're supposed to. Maybe that's the whole deal. It's the whole deal with technology is like with other pieces of the cars. Does the car ever work the way it's supposed to? I don't know what else. A toaster, does a toaster ever work the way it's supposed to? So it seems like there's something in it that doesn't make I don't know about my. I did finally get water into my water filter, my filtering decanter thing. I had my friend from next door come and helping me clean. Actually, she was cleaning and I was watching, and we finally did get, because it's been sitting there. So I don't. That may be. Perhaps that's my first piece of technology. When I take a sip out of that, I want to say, my God, this actually is the greatest water that I have ever experienced. And then, they will have met their promise, I guess. I don't know what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to purify the water. It's supposed to take chemicals and sediments out of it. And the main thing is to make it taste better. The other thing is, I guess, so you live longer. So I guess that the jury might be out on that point. But I don't know. That could be the one. Could that be the one? What else? I don't know what else is in my future. That might be, I guess, my next phone. If I go back to Q-Link. So I go back to Q-Link, and I get another phone from them, and I don't know how it works. I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know how technically it's. It's a what used to be called an Obama phone company. It's got another name now since he's gone. But for indigent people like myself, so you can have a cell phone to look for work, although I think most people use it to play games, and more people anyway than to look for work. But I am qualified for it, and they did send me one, but they didn't tell me it was coming. And I was out of town, and they left it on my porch. It's like, yeah, that's gonna stay there till I get back. Someone made off with it and has been using it. And as I said, I've been in contact with Q-Link. Well, you can't be in contact with Q-Link. There are no human beings there. I've satisfied myself with that. It's either their website or their automated. There's a nice picture of a nice-looking young girl who's supposed to be my customer service agent, but I can't get her on the phone. I get an automated email back. Sometimes I've gotten the same. I've called them so many times, I've started getting the same automated email back. But what I have found out, as I said, was I have to put, if I want to get a phone from them, I got to put a bit more cash into it. And I just, I lean back and forth. I don't really have the cash. I mean, there are moments when I do, but I'm trying to hold on to it so that when the old paycheck falls off, as it has from time to time, I hold on to that cash and I can then pay my bills without having to dip into my vast wealth and savings. But you know, that's where I'm at. I have to figure out whether I want to make that investment or wait until, I mean, the timing wouldn't be exactly right, but at you know, after about a year after the Q-Link debacle started, I would have to qualify again, and that's one point where I could say, okay, blow up Q-Link. I don't qualify, and then they're the phone that these people are so happily using won't work anymore. Or I go ahead and renew it and then have them send the new phone to me on a day when I will actually be here, and then go to Sprint, and it wouldn't cost me near as much at that point to get rid of the phone I have now. I don't know. I keep thinking about this jailbreaking the Android thing. I just don't know as much about this stuff as I should. But they call it jailbreaking of the old with the Apple phones, because they fix them so that you can only use them on Apple systems. And I guess there was a time, I'm not sure if this is still the case, there was a time when they fixed them where you could only use Apple applications and, you know, only go to the Apple store, and all that. You couldn't do anything that was non-Apple. But then clever people figured out how to get around that. And they'd bust into the phone, they called it jailbreaking. They'd bust into the phone and fix it up so that they could use it on Android or whatever they wanted. And there was a time, I remember, when Apple was going to sue people to stop this, that they wanted to stop people from tampering with phones that they owned. You know, I can see it if you're leasing the phone the way that I am, and I don't own this set that you know, taking a screwdriver to this and taking it apart, probably not something that I ought to do. Not with this particular phone, if it was a new phone, you know, one of the newer Androids. This is an old. I have a Galaxy J3, which is as Captain Queeg says in the Kane Mutiny, it's about the oldest kind still doing combat duty. I think, you know, I don't think they would be, I wouldn't think they would be so concerned about me tinkering with it. But I took it to the store. I had one that originally I was thinking about converting one of these things to a track phone. And I went to the track phone store, and they said, no, that's not us. You got to go to the people two doors down, and they do that kind of thing. They can turn it into a track phone for you. And they went over there, and they said, no, we can't turn that into a track phone. Because it's locked in. It's a Sprint phone. I shouldn't say the name, but it's a Sprint phone. And it will always be a Sprint phone. And that's what led me to thinking, I mean, okay, it will always be a Sprint phone, but are there people who, like, you know, the ones who jailbreak Apple phones, are there people who jailbreak Sprint phones? And I would like to get these phones, these two phones that I have, the one that I'm using and the old one that I thought was lost and but not big lost. Because right now they're no good to me, and I'm paying $60 a month, which I understand is actually quite cheap in the scheme of things. And of course, I do hope to shake off these shackles and become a productive citizen once more. And at which point, of course, I'll be able to pay for my own cell phone. But for as long as I continue to qualify, I might as well take advantage of this other phone. Although I kind of hate the way they operate. It's just disingenuous to operate an organization where you refuse to communicate with your customers. I can't get on the phone with anybody and explain to them. I mean, if I could do that, I'm going to explain to them what the situation is, and then maybe they would tell me there's nothing they could do. I mean, that's a possible outcome. Or maybe there is something they could do, but it doesn't. That pathway doesn't exist, and that makes me angry. And then I wonder why I'm even considering using them. This is one of probably many hundreds of repetitive pathways that my mind goes through on a daily basis. It's very tiring and very distracting, and it makes it, I was going to say, makes it much more difficult, but that's not exactly what I mean. It's standing in the way of my becoming a productive citizen again. So I keep plowing through this, not knowing whether you can even understand a word I'm saying. But that's kind of what, I mean, it's an act of faith. It's always an act of faith from my end doing this show. But if these words are getting, if these words are even getting out, I mean, I don't know that. The blog talk is an act of faith with blog talk that, you know, there's even any sort of connection that these words go anywhere. So now I'm paranoid about that too. I can't remember anything in particular that I was going to follow up from last time. I do remember that I said in the little blurb for this week that I was going to say something about August, and I was going to reference, you know, the poet. I can't remember which poet it was. Somebody said, April is the cruelest month, and I've never agreed with that. I just thought August was the cruelest month, first of all because of the heat, second because it was always the month when summer vacation ended, and school began, as back in my day, back in the when we were riding the Conestoga wagons to school. School would start on the day after Labor Day. Not to, we've had our city schools here started this week, and then some of the county schools are starting next week. And these kids, so I guess to them, August is the cruelest month. They're hurting them in from their vacations and back into classrooms. And some of them go in old buildings that have, you know, they have multiple through the window type air conditioners that just don't really do the job. And they're sitting there and trying to learn. Although, of course, as we're told, our mothers and fathers went to school in buildings with no air conditioning at all, and that may be why both of my parents quit. But anyway, I guess it's Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You know, if your basic needs aren't met, you can't learn. So if you're sweltering, and you know, you haven't had a good breakfast, and if you're being, you know, beaten up when you go home every night, these are things that. These are things that interfere with what you're trying to do school-wise. As for me, it's nice to have the library back again. You go in there when the kids are off of school, you go to the library and they've got all the computers jacked up and they're playing video games. And so and they're popping around from seat to seat. People are going around. What's the code for this? What's this? It's like, I remember when I was a kid, you had to be quiet when you were in the library. Does anybody else remember that? Or is that just one of those things like the guy who wrote the Bear books, or the Berenstain? People swore it used to be Berenstain, but now all the books say Berenstain or the other way around. And so they talk about that was some sort of, you know, dimensional overlap or something. I think it reflects suggestibility more than anything else. I think it's one person originally had this idea, and then they said it, and said, oh, yeah, I remember that. Bernstein, no. Must be the Russians. The Russians are conspirators. I don't get into that. I'm getting dangerously close to politics now. Don't want to do that. Oh, God. I still got 10 minutes left to fill. Today is just a freaky day. Did last week occur on a freaky day? I remember having another freaky day earlier this week. And just getting out of bed, things just seemed like about a half a hertz off. You know, if I'm supposed to be operating at 600 megahertz today, I was about a half off, and just the whole day just didn't seem like it was working in the proper fashion. And that was today too. Although I drove today, I was at my folks for 2 days. Oh, Mom and Dad had a serious fight too. That's just so you don't know how. Do you step in? Do you try and mediate it somehow? My father's going to be 81 years old later this month, and my mother's going to be 78. And you know, they're fighting like cats and dogs. They've been married for 61 years. You know, so like, what am I going to tell them? How am I going to tell them not to fight? But you know, Dad, we have trouble finding enough stuff for Dad to keep him busy, and so he becomes frustrated for that reason. He does not hear well. And now we're getting to a point where our Mom doesn't hear so well either. So they're trying to communicate things to each other, and there's a physical barrier. But they see it. They both see it as, you know, they're being dissed. They wouldn't use that word, but the other one is disrespecting them. And it was a disagreement over my father's driver's license, which is another issue that's a little bit scary. But my father went and got his driver's license renewed, and he brought the license back with him, but also some sort of tale about how his license was supposed to come in 30 days. And he had this envelope that said, your license will come in 30 days. Well, that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense when he's holding this, what appears to be a valid driver's license, you know, with the expiration date on it and everything, expire in 30 days. Didn't say anywhere on it to expire 30 days. What I believe happened was they handed them that envelope. It's probably the same envelope they give everybody. They don't go by what's on that envelope. They have all the, they handed it to him. You know, here's your envelope. And he saw what was written on it, and he, what was that? Is that what it's supposed to be, or was the other thing it's supposed to be? So I think what would have happened under better circumstances was that he would have wondered about it for a few days, and then he would have probably found a way, because he had a lot of time. He would have found his way up there and would have asked him, and you know, they would have told him what the deal is. But my mother, bless her heart, really isn't. She needs to get to the bottom of things right now. It has to be done right away. So when every one of these problems comes up, and she's the fixer. She's the middle child of two alcoholics. She's the fixer. She's got it. She takes it upon herself to fix everything and everybody, including me. You know, I've been in the crosshairs too. So she starts questioning Dad about this, and he doesn't. He doesn't really know. It's something he read on this envelope. And so he's not really fully informed about it either, but he doesn't really want to admit that. And they start going back and forth. And of course, it's fun when they go back and forth because they really can't hear each other very well. Again, I'm sitting there thinking, should I do something? Should I say something? What do I do? I don't want to be here. I don't want to be hearing this. Don't want to hear my parents fight. Nobody wants to hear their parents fight. And, you know, both of my parents, but especially my mother, lived in rather unhappy households. And one would think that experience would rub off, but then maybe the way it's rubbed off is that they just do the same things as their parents. They react the same way to situations as their folks did. Although they don't go out and get drunk, that's good. We'll count that as a plus. As I said, my mother is the daughter of two alcoholics, and it really colors the way she sees everything. It was very important. You know, my dad's father was also an alcoholic. So that's 3 out of 4 for me. And so it was very important to them, to my folks, that I not be an alcoholic. And when it turned out that I was, that this was not, this was a problem that my mother needed to fix right now. Okay. And, it's not a problem you can fix right now. It's just not, it just didn't work that way. And, I've been dry for 8, 9 years now. 8 years. Something like that. 8 years. Yeah, 2010. So eight years. Yeah. In fact, the anniversary just passed, in May? So 8 years in May. Anyway, I'm doing okay. You know, doing all right. Staying out of trouble, keeping my nose clean, keeping my head above water, making my way when I can. But anytime there's a bump in the road, that becomes sort of thing. Like, Jason, you drinking again? You know, she wouldn't say it like that, but she would make it implicit that she didn't think that at this particular moment I was reacting to a situation in the same way. And sometimes I haven't been. There was a thing last year that my parents own the car that I drive, and they pay the insurance. And the insurance bill comes here because to get the proper rate, they have to use my address. And it didn't occur to me that I needed to send the bill to her. I thought she was doing, direct, not direct deposit, the other way around, direct withdrawal. What was it they call that? I thought, because with all of her other insurances, she has it set up where they take the premium directly from the bank. But for some reason, they couldn't do it with this one, perhaps because it's in my name. I don't know. So it got right down to it. And my mother called me and asked me if I had seen the bill. I said, well, yeah, I guess I did. Good thing I hadn't thrown it away. But, we had 2 days to make all of that work, and I'm here and she's there. It was a stressful time. And I ended up yelling at my mother because I'm trying to get the insurance agent on the phone to get this information that I need. And she keeps coming in, my mother keeps coming in, and I call up the mom inquisition. She keeps coming in and asking me questions. If you can give me a minute, to get my head straight. And, but it's not, no, it has to be now. Got to do it now. It has to be now. You know, if you just step back. But I'm not laying it all at her feet. You know, Dad was screwy with what he did. I was screwy with what I did. We bear plenty of responsibility. But I guess it sounds like I'm blaming it on Mom. But hey, what are you going to do? Still Mom's fault. It's not Mom's fault. Did you hear that? That was the dreaded 90-second call from Blog Talk, which you may have just heard for the first time since I'm on the speakerphone. Okay, thank you so much. I got to get to bed. Got to work tomorrow. Make a little money. Make things better here in the world. Come back next week. Hopefully I will not be as mad at my phone. Hopefully I can speak to you on a phone that will give you a little bit better. I don't even know what this sounds like. I know this may be perfectly fine for all I know. But at any rate, come back next week. It'll be better. I know I always promise you that. But this time, it's for real. The show will be better next week, I promise. Thank you for tuning in, and have a pleasant good evening.